Fire Engineering Podcasts are sponsored by MSA. Firefighters want to be connected to each other, to dispatch, and to their commanders. MSA has created Lunar, a wireless, handheld device that includes thermal imaging, firefighter ranging, motion alarm, and cloud technology with GPS. It's part of the new connected firefighter platform from MSA. Learn more at msafire.com.
All right, welcome to Fire Engineering's Hump Day Hangout and to our show, Issues and Challenges in Today's Fire Service. I'm Chief Rick Lasky, and my co-host and buddy, Chief Terry McGrath from Louisville, will be out today. They're doing, he's working with HR. They're doing some interviews for a position there within the city. I don't think it's with the fire department even. I think he's just, Terry always works with HR there on different topics. But Terry will be back with us for our next show. We've got another great show for you today with our Hump Day team. Our team, and I'll introduce them again for those that might be joining us for the first time. We've got Chief John Salka, retired battalion chief from the FDNY, chief of the South Blooming Grove Fire Department in New York. We've got Chief Scott Thompson from the Colony, Texas, the author of the best-selling book, The Functional Fire Company, and longtime FDIC instructor like all of us. And of course, we've got Chief Bobby Halton, our commander-in-chief for fire engineering and all things associated with FE. Guys, today we're gonna talk about writing positions and first two considerations, which I know is very close and dear to all of us. Before we get going, just remind our audience, if you have any questions, shoot over to Twitter and send them to us. Just make sure you add hashtag FE talk, all right, for Fire Engineering Talk, so we get to them and we'll do our best. So welcome, guys, to another great show.
Welcome, hello.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Well, and Bobby, real quick, well, we got you. We got you every Wednesday, or you know, I know you're on all of them, but especially on this one.
That's not true. I'm not on all of them.
Well, I mean, you'll pop in and out. Yeah. You know, you'll pop in and out, but with us, you're part of our team. But a couple quick things, Bobby. One is, and it fits in perfectly with our topic today. Great magazine cover for October. Got my digital one. Great. Frame looks like balloon, multifamily dwelling, you know, aerial ladders up, engine, everything else. Great magazine shot. But can you give us, I know I retweeted it a couple times, FDIC update. We're doing registrations and housing for attendees.
Housing is open, registration's open. There's a whole bunch of great surprises that are coming down the line. The people that sign up early, there's obviously everybody who the rollover people. And then we've got this great cool thing that we're giving everybody who signs up early that they'll see down the road that they'll be like, okay, that was cool. So anyway, stuff like that happening, but housing is open. So, you know, if you're coming, now's the time to do your housing. You know, if you call me on April 15th and say you're looking to be downtown, even though it's tax day, I won't be in a good mood.
How come I'm at the airport?
You've never been at the airport.
No,
we've both been at the airport together. Yeah, the Ramada Inn, the one that the plane hit. We've been there. Yeah.
No, if I was at the airport, I'd be on a plane heading home.
Well, John, you know, we put you at the airport because we couldn't find anything further away. We kept trying to get you out there.
And funny thing, Bobby, years ago when Indy had the old airport, okay?
Right, so, that's where the Ramada Inn was, yeah.
So the old airport, I'm like, all right, so I go to teach another teaching gig, you know, after FDIC that one particular year. Obviously been going there since it's been there and been with you, you know, since 96, it's been, well, you know, at the time bought it, now Clarion. But so we're landing and I'm looking out my window. I'm going, I tell Lady Nix, I go, holy crap, we're landing at the wrong airport. I said, we're going to be on the news. We're landing at the wrong. I've heard about, look at, she goes, oh no, that's the new airport. I go, no. I've been to Indy. She goes, no, this is, I said, when did they build a new airport? So I felt like an ass, but anyway, that was my introduction to new airport.
And I try not to travel with him too much.
And Bobby, I just did my video for you. I know we were set up to do the United
Fire Conference,
and obviously we had to postpone that with COVID. So I just did my video for you. Still the best job in the world, leading through tough times. Talk about that real quick. Those videos are being
posted. Yeah. So that's kind of the surprise. We're putting together this, and everybody who signs up is going to get access to it. Everybody who comes to FDIC is going to get access to it. It's going to have like all the webcasts that we've ever done, and then hundreds more. We're getting all kinds of people to put them in there. So if you want to pull up a webcast of, you know, whatever, from whenever, you'll be able to pull it up, watch it anytime you want, which is, you know, and run the whole thing or start in the middle or, you know what I mean? So it's going to be really, really cool. Like capturing all this, you know, material that's out there, because if you miss a webcast, it's up for a while and you got to hunt for it. Well, the smart guys that run this place said, well, why don't we put them all in one place? You know, and then you just sign up for FDIC, there you go. So, you know, we're going to have 50 new ones from everybody from that offered to teach at Unified Fire Conference. We thought we'd put 50 new ones in there. And then with FDIC every year, you'll see another 200 get added. You know, we'll have guys say, put it in there, put everyone in there. And we've got a bunch of guys and like yourselves that have said, hey, I want to do this one. I got this, you know, I got this I'd like to put in there. And then what's cool about it is, and I hope you saw, they put this new profile thing together for all the instructors too. So it'll be right up there on the webpage. So if somebody wants to get a hold of John Salka or Scott Thompson or Ricky Lasky to schedule a class, click on it, boom, and they're in touch with you.
You and I were talking about when I was filling in all the blanks, you know, with all the information. Hope I didn't blow it when you said a surprise, because I was pretty excited when I did mine and they explained what all happened with it, you know, even before. And I was like, this could be pretty freaking cool. Cause you know, the website, thank God, you know,
what everybody forgets, not to interrupt you, Ricky, but what everybody forgets is that when you guys put up like an hour long webcast, and I've sat through all of your classes, that's the introduction for most of you guys. I mean, most of your classes are 2.5-3 hours long on a single topic. Like today we're talking about riding positions and we're going to talk for an hour. But when you really think about it, riding positions, you could talk about riding positions for 2 days. I mean, there's a lot to unpack. The cover photo you were talking about, right? So if you get when you get Fire Engineering this month, or if you're digital, look at that cover photo. I think is it Medford or where is it? I apologize. I'll pull it up and get the right town. But they got top floor fire, John. You'll like this. It's balloon. Blowing out the windows that, you know, the attic's obviously been turned into a living quarters, as many of them are. So you got good fire rolling out. You got the stick up to the side. You got three guys at the tip, you know, spaced pretty good, but getting ready to do some work. You got the favorite part for me is there's a kid with a bundle on his shoulder, obviously going to put another line into work. You know what I mean? And a guy at the pump panel doing his job. I mean, that picture alone is a 2-hour conversation at the kitchen table.
Well, and we've talked about that, you know, I have a folder of magazine covers for Fire Engineering and, you know, everything from, I've talked about it. It's in, you know, my Pride and Ownership book. I even put the white cover in there from years ago from Bill Manny, when people were like, you go through, Bobby, complained about the guy didn't have his hood around his ear, you know, all this stuff. And so he says, here's the perfect fire ground. It's a blank cover. But we've sat there, John, you know, I've talked about Scott. We used to do it at Louisville. You put one magazine, boom, on the kitchen table, and you're there 2 hours later, still talking tactics and strategy and all that. But I'm just so glad, Bobby, real quick, that, you know, the website, thank God, you know, you got Pete. I love Pete. The website has come over the years. It's incredible. You can spend days on there and not get through it. There's so many resources, like you said. So I'm excited about the video.
So here's the skinny on it. And John, you'll love this picture. It's Waterbury, Connecticut. It's a house fire, heavy fire on the second and third floor, a 2.5-story wood frame, 10 family members. And it's interesting, John, when you look at it, and Ricky, Tommy, Scotty, there's two satellite dishes, right? Oh, what does that tell you, right? It's just a fantastic job that they had. They called in some additional resources. The aerial is really well placed. You got three troops up near the tip working, doing some roof work. You've got a guy with the roll-up door. You got a guy with a bundle on his back. There's a 5-inch that's laid out. The wheels are chalked. It's just a wonderful picture. It's Keith Moriarty sent it to us. Moriarty, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful photo. And obviously Waterbury, you know, Tommy's old job.
There it is, Scott's old job.
Oh yeah,
isn't that a wonderful picture, right?
So that's October's issue to our viewers. And again, you got all those magazines laying around your house or around the firehouse and that. And, you know, nowadays with some restrictions in some place with COVID and things like that, here's the perfect opportunity for you. No PowerPoint, nothing fancy, no internet, nothing. It's a magazine cover and you can talk tactics. And, you know, there's always like, okay, so what if? And what do you think? God, they're just incredible. So, hey,
we just took that cover and talk about riding positions, Ricky, right?
Well, that's why I brought it up.
You got five firefighters there to evaluate and figure out what were their riding positions, or based on conditions, did those initial riding assignments perhaps change?
Right. And I'll throw this, because I know, like I said, this particular topic we've all discussed and suggested. For our viewers, we don't work from a script. We don't, hey, what do you think about this topic for tomorrow? And that's what we do. John, you and I have talked about this. Let's hit you first, because you're the chief of your volunteer fire department, which I love. Great, great firefighter, South Blooming Grove in Orange County right there. All right. And, you know, 33 years at the FDNY and the busiest companies. All right. You know, I mean, we're talking busiest trucks. You're talking, you know, Rescue 3 is a firefighter with Pete Lund. You're riding backwards with Jay Jonas and John Norman, you know, lieutenant on squad 1, captain on 48 engine, you know, doing 10 fires a day and 6,000 plus runs a year. And then the 18th battalion for 15 years, battalion commander, most of that. You and I've talked about that. I was amazed, just loving it, just like it was in Chicago, to be able to be in 45 engine, 58 truck and talk to the guys and as they're checking the rig out and go, So what's your assignment? And they would say this, all right, are you talking taxpayer? Are you talking tenement? Tell me what I'm, you know, so let's, I mean, there's a difference there, right? With you know, the seat, you're not going to change seats, but your assignments are going to change. And whether you're going to a multifamily dwelling versus commercial building, let's talk about that first, right?
Yep. I mean, and you know, I guess the problem is, and it's an eternal problem for everybody, is there's so many different kinds of buildings. There's so many different jobs that have to get done. There's so many different staffing levels at different fire departments that it makes this innumerable, that you can't count the number of different positions there are and the different jobs that have to get done. And everything from a private dwelling to a small, let's say a small taxpayer, 3 stores on a little town, right? 3 stores in one building, right? Or the big taxpayer or the taxpayer with the second floor with offices or apartments. And this goes on and on and on. So for example, 58 truck is a tower ladder in the Bronx. I think they have every building in the world there. They have high-rise buildings with standpipes. They got rows of taxpayers. They got old single frames. They got brand new, you know, apartment houses. They got everything. So the outside vent guy, he's got 6 different jobs. And he might actually carry a couple of different tools depending on what kind of building he's going to. And that's just one position in one firehouse. Now, obviously, Sapleman Grove doesn't have that. But we still have a firehouse. We still have private dwellings. We got a couple of strip malls. And the guys have to be able to do it there, too. Staffing is a question mark. We get a run, we might get 5 guys, we might get 3 guys. Suddenly, I got to give 2 positions up or you know, 2 guys got to double up. So riding positions, like Bobby said, we could talk about riding positions for days. And the variables of tool assignments and stuff. In my fire department in South Blooming Grove, we have to have all the tools immediately available because the guy might have to jump off with the hook and the can, or he might have to jump out with an axe and a halligan and run in and do that job, you know? So it's quite complex, actually.
Well, exactly. That's why I threw those 2 scenarios, and that's just a couple, you know, to be honest. Scott, the county, booming community, busy fire department, north side of Dallas-Fort Metroplex, progressive, aggressive, safe fire department, full of tradition. I love saying that because, you know, people say you can't be progressive and have tradition, and Bobby's already smiling because I know he loves that, and we're, you know, you can be extremely progressive. And I used to say Louisville is a very progressive department full of tradition. You guys are safe. You run good staffing, but you've got you've got your smaller thing. You've got your little shotgun houses. You have mega mansions. You've got large community. You've got big box buildings. pretty much everything you think of. Talk about the colony and what do you accomplish there in the way of you know, riding assignments day to day?
Well, to make it work for us with our four stations, we use the word address. So based on, the chief prior to us that we all know was really going towards a Quint concept. And the way that it was basically the minute you pull up, somebody's going to tell you if you're doing engine work, you're doing truck work. So we want, with these small Fox boxes, we didn't have time to do that in the front yard. So what we do is based on position, if the first engine's job is to address fire attack, right? We're going to do that on every fire call, right? We're going to address that. So based on where you're riding on that engine, it's kind of like what John said, we're sometimes limited, but where you're sitting on that seat is going to determine what your role is in doing that. Now, I personally believe the incident commander doesn't need to be telling the first in engine what line to pull and one length and where to go in. That's why we got company officers. So the first engine addresses fire attack. Our second engine, we call it the fire attack support team. Their whole job is to see to the success of the first engine. Water supply, do they need to help stretch the first line, or they put it back in line?
Just interrupt. I love that. I love that already, because everybody's so worried about coming up with new terms or different things, but what a great way to describe, for your operation, the second new company, the fire attack support team. Because like John said, you could have all these different assignments. Instead of just saying, we're just the search team or the vent team, so I didn't interrupt you. I just thought that's a great concept.
And it's easily to package. You can you got to make it where the guys and gals can understand it. And then we did in Lewisville, the third engine is rapid intervention and then our fourth engine is on deck and they're assignable. So what we say is each company addresses these problems. The truck is, five-person truck. So we have inside truck, outside truck, and an outside vent. And each one of those has to address the problems that's assigned to them. And then based on the company level, determines what tools are going to take and how they're going to do. But I think the biggest advantage to what we're talking about is it allows the incident commander to stay proactive where he or she's not telling every company everything to do, and that to me is becomes problematic, at least in our system.
Well, and you said something that I want to go back to real quick, Bobby. I've been with John in the Bronx, where I've just watched him. He would get out of the buggy, whether he's got his turnout gear on or his dress hat, how they work, and he would go across the street instead of standing up in the mix and just bothering guys that are trying to do their job. He'd back up. He'd either be in the street. I remember once Emily was standing next to him when she was about this tall. Like my little girl's in the Bronx next to Uncle John. He just stands there and he does his thing and he talks and he's not, the only order may be he wants to differ from something that's going on. Other than that, his crews are going to work. They know what they're supposed to do. He's out of the way. And for some departments, they would look and go, well, the incident commander's not saying nothing. Well, yeah. Real quick before Bobby, I get to you with this. I remember Jerry Wells. We know Chief Wells just retired from Lewisville. I remember him coming in, Scott, after we had a third alarm down there at Old Orchard. What I'm talking about. Old Orchard and Bel Air. Good fire on a Saturday, And he came into my office. He goes, I think I've arrived. And I go, what? He goes, this was the extent of my orders when I pulled up. I went, I go, pretty nice when they know what they're supposed to do. So, and real quick, Bobby, hang on a second. John, tell the story when you new captain on 48 engine, right? And the guys are coming behind you, and you're at a job, and you want to make sure they are bringing.
That's a great story.
Go ahead.
So I'm the new captain of 48 engine, busy outfit, and I've been busy outfits too, but I never worked there. And bing bang boom, before you know, we're going to a job. The truck was out. Normally, the truck would have been behind us going on a box, but the truck was already out, and they got there first. That 75, now we're scrambling out of corners. We're rolling down a block. I see the smoke. We get there, and I realize it's on Fordham Road. It's a taxpayer. We got a commercial building, and in my job, FDNY, commercial building's 2.5-inch hose. No discussion. That's the end of the discussion. So I hop off the rig. I'm excited. Good job going. I'm walking down a sidewalk towards the building because we stopped ahead of the building, and I take about 10 steps, and I realize, oh, shit. I better make sure the boys pull 2.5 because it's a big deal if you pull the wrong hose. You know what I'm saying? So I pivot. I spin around. I turn around. Boom, I'm back at the Dominic Limonati, my nozzle man. And he's got 2.5 inch over his arm. And he says, what? What? You turn around and check that we had the right hose, right? I said, no. He said, no. You're checking to see that we got 2.5 inch hose. I know it. I said, no, Dominic, really. He said, let's go, Cap. Let's go. And we went and we put the fire out. And I was turning around to make sure I had the right side hose. And you know what? Mickey Mouse could have been riding the front seat that day. They would have had 2.5 inch hose, which is, that's the nice thing about assignments. That's the nice thing about predetermined assignments and tool assignments and hose assignments is the crew knows too. You don't have to, you know, and like Scott said, the incident commander, which I was not there, I was just the captain, but the incident commander at that fire wasn't worrying about it because he knew that the company officer was, and he was worrying about strategy, not tactics, you know? So I love that story because it showed how good the guys were, you know?
Oh, it just popped in my head. We were talking about this. Bobby, you know, you're not only incredible amount of experience, you know, I mean, all the way from firefighter to pretty much number two, you know, ops chief in Albuquerque, New Mexico, big, big city department, Coppell, Texas as chief, volunteer firefighter all these years, all this stuff. And then your travels, you see everything. You see all walks of life, all different sizes. It's almost so what works and what doesn't work. Talk two things. Talk first about this whole why you shouldn't have to give, like Scott said, every single order. And by some guys, it's like they the new chiefs, it's like they use all their orders up on the first call because they can't wait to say them. And then number two, how important it is to have an idea what you're going to do before you get there, these riding assignments we're talking about.
So there's a couple of things to unpack there. One is that the real world's not an assessment center, right? And so
I like that.
Yeah, the real world is the real world. And you know your people and your people know you and they should know the job. And what arrival, arrival order and responsibility and riding assignment are the three things that come together that make things work, right? So if you take Scott's example, the first due engine is fire attack. John's first due engine at 48 was fire attack. So their responsibility is to get the right line or lines to the door and get ready, as well as making sure, Tommy Brennan raised me and John right. If you don't get your own water, you're a fool. Because, or at least, you know, many times as you possibly can, because if you're going to trust somebody else for your water, that's a problem. Now, that doesn't mean that the second due engine can't help hook up or whatever, but So back to the point. So your riding assignment, then if you're the nozzleman, you better know commercial structure. I pull a 2.5. So if you're the backup firefighter, you might want, and you roll up at, you know, a taxpayer, like John said, your job might be grab a second bundle, throw it at the door. Or, and then with Scotty's example, if you're on that first due engine and you're normally the nozzleman, well, maybe your riding position then, because you're the second due engine, is to help that chauffeur, that engineer, that driver make the right connections, make sure the first due engine's got proper water, make sure you got a secondary supply, whatever the context of the job is, like a commercial job, you might want to secure that secondary water supply before you go to, you know, the backup line. It's all kind of a nuance depending on where you are, right? Like on my volunteer job, it's a little different than even all that. So I love the whole discussion. It's the arrival order, because you could be the nozzleman on the second due engine, but when you arrive and it's a water supply issue, you're not the nozzleman then. You're helping the chauffeur, or you're doing whatever, or you're pulling the second line or whatever. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to vent or we were supposed to search. No, this is what we need done right now. You know,
right.
This is the order.
Exactly.
And you to turn John's, the corner first.
And to John's point, so say 48, they got everything under the sun. So say they had rolled up and it's a trash fire on the side of a single story residential or a two story residential, you know, they're not pulling the 2.5. You know what I mean? And so the great, to your original question, people started to overthink this and they started to infantize the firefighter as if our troops don't know what line to pull, as if our troops don't know, you know, what tools to grab. You know what I mean? And occasionally a guy's going to, or a gal's going to slip up. Big deal. I've personally never made a mistake except for every moment of my life. Other than that, I got a perfect bag. Every moment of my life, I do something absolutely wrong. But the bottom line is that on the job, we know our people know what they're doing. They're well-trained. They know what to get. What happened was, is that we started to confuse assessment seminars and simulation training with the real world. And it's not the real world. It gets in the way of good leadership and good management. When John walks across the street, or any one of us walk across the street and stand back and watch and say, that's good. It's looking good, fellas. Looking good, guys. Looking good, girls.
Well, and Bobby, real quick, the orchestra leader is not up in the horn section and all that stuff. He's out where he can see everybody and he's controlling the orchestra. And that's what I meant about John and Scott. You've done it, Bobby.
And this has happened to all of us. Sometimes we're thinking they should do A, B, C, D. And one of our people says, I'm doing J. And he's right, because he's up close and personal with that on that interior. And that is why you keep your mouth shut, your ears open. And if you see something from the outside, like that great piece that Gustin wrote a couple of weeks ago, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. Occasionally from the outside, and why John's back, we're all back looking at the whole picture, is occasionally we go in the front door, we don't see fire coming through the roof. While we're inside, all of a sudden, boom, it's through the roof, or we see fire on an exposure we didn't see before.
How many times, Bobby, have you pulled somebody out of a building and they went, and they're, you know, John, you say, give me five more minutes. And they come out and they go, where did all this fire come from? And you're like, yeah, you're not seeing what I'm seeing.
True story. And my buddy Todd Bethke is going to hate me for telling it. I'll just tell a quick war story, because we're old people. That's what we do. It's like a golf match. Every hole, we got another story. I'm rolling up, young battalion chief, residential, kind of a funky three-story. And I see my guy, Todd Bethke, great guy, walking across the roof. He's got the warthog in his hand. You know, he's getting ready to, and then I see my guy, Todd Bethke, disappear. And now where Todd was is a hole in the roof. And Todd Bethke is now in the garage, two floors below. And nobody inside knew that except me. And I'm like, you're not seeing what I'm seeing, because we just had a guy do a Houdini. And thank God, no significant injuries. Got beat up a little bit, and the guys, you know, forced open the garage door and got in, got Todd out. But the guy had been renovating the home. So Todd fell boom, 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 right through and ended up in the garage. And nobody else saw it. So by being back a ways, I was able to say, hey, hang on a second. And I didn't know it was Todd at the time, but whoever was on the roof ain't on the roof anymore. We got a hole on the roof now. Well, and he had just gone up a little ahead of his crew. No big deal. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't freelance. It wasn't doing anything stupid. Just got up on the roof first and took a couple of steps and disappeared.
Well, and John's used, he's kind of parodied, if you will, the Homeland Security. If you see something, say something kind of thing too, that ties to the communication thing. If you see something, say something to fire around. I want to throw this to Scott. Scott, you and I have been through this both, you're chief of department, a couple places, and training chief of Lewis for a long time. And Bobby, we could all talk about this, that I know when I first got there, we were trying to change that mindset. Like, let's talk riding positions, first do assignments, flexibility, don't get, I just do this and that's all I can do, because the truck may be in Flower Mound right now and you're going to have to do truck work and you're on an engine. And, not everybody has that luxury of, we don't touch fire hose and we don't touch saws. But Scott, we talk about this. We dealt with a lot of guys took it the wrong way. I remember for me, some of the guys were saying, he doesn't think we know how to fight fires. I'm like, no. I think you guys are awesome at fighting fires. I think you're great at it. But don't you want to be the best? And I always appeal to the competitiveness of firefighters. I said it before on this show. I don't want to just be okay. I want to be the best. I want to be the one that Chief Salka turns to and says, Lasky, over here. We just talked about this. And you don't get that way, number one, without training, without good leaders that are talking shop and talking tactics. And you don't get that way without rehearsal with, like, okay, Scott, I know you've been here. You've been here a year, but you're working over on my shift today. You're riding behind me. I'm the captain. Let's make sure we're on the same page here, because you work C shift or whatever shift. Let's talk aside. So talk about, how do you deal with that little bit of hurt feeling of they, you know what I'm saying, where some people take it wrong. And I'm like, no, this is, don't we want to be great, the best that we're doing? Let's talk about the assignments.
Well, and you said it, it gives you a competitive edge. You know, we're the professionals, right? We're the elite level performers. And, you know, on a baseball team, all your athletes can throw very well and catch very well, but there's a reason why you have a second base and a third baseman, and they're really good. But, you know, once we started to make the change, I had one battalion chief that was absolutely against it. And John, he would say, well, you know, you want us to be like FDNY. And I said, no, you know, it gives us that competitive edge. And you think about it, a firefighter can really start preparing for that next fire at 7 o'clock in the morning with their tools and so forth. Now, again, we don't want them to think they're only doing one, but it's a progression, a checkoff. This is the first thing you need to think about, the second thing, the third thing, and we can package that and they can manage that. But, you know, we're saying fires are fewer and fewer. We need to maximize our experiences when we go to these. And this is another interesting question, though, is when you read a close call or line of duty death report and you ask the question, when is the last time that firefighter actually did that? You know, who's our quality control person each morning that says, hey, you're riding the truck today. When's the last time you went to a roof? When's the last time you did a search? Well, I haven't done it since.
I haven't done it
in 5 years, you know. But if you think about it, the way we do staffing in our departments, you know, the suburbs, it's what's easy. Or it's your turn to ride the truck or your turn to ride the engine. Those are the feelings we got to deal with. Well, it's my turn to ride the truck. Well, you know, you suck on the truck. When you get a little better, we'll talk about it. So I think all those things play into it. And then always reserve the right. We use the term to call an audible. You know, we'll hear somebody on the radio say, you know, engine 11's on scene. We're going to call an audible on this. We're going to do this instead of this. And you just make the adjustment and go.
Well, and exactly when it comes to that whole, you know, and you said, I love how you said about not necessarily, well, you suck, but you know, I've always asked guys before. So really be honest with me. When's the last time you've actually been on the nozzle inside a good fire, a good fire? Or when's the last time you've been on your hands and knees searching with your tissue? Yeah. When's the last time you've been cutting a hole in the roof? And not everybody, you know, that John, you perfect example. You know, you were Captain 18th Battalion. You're 48 engines. Never, ever, ever under 6,000 runs a year. Fires, I mean, I believe you go home to South Blooming Grove, and granted, you got some FDNY guys and some other guys off duty working there as volleys, but you could have somebody that hasn't been on a fire, hasn't been a nozzle in over a year or so, because
there's guys that haven't been inside a building in a fire in 5 years. Yeah, inside a building in a fire in five years.
And it doesn't mean they're back. It's just a timing issue. Maybe they didn't make the fire or they missed
the one. And the fact is it's a very inactive when it comes to fires. We're just not very busy when it comes to fires. We're a very, very stable neighborhood. And we do mutual aid. You know, we go next door. We go to their fires. So maybe in the course of a year, maybe once a month, we roll out to a fire. Half of them we get to do something at. And of the half that we get to do something at, it's not much. It's never the first new engine into a room, maybe doing some overhauling or helping them cut a roof or maybe stretching on the line somewhere. But the point is, if you're not doing a lot of duty, there still has to be a fire department. The nicest neighborhoods in the world, and you worked at one of them, right? You were an interim chief in a beautiful, beautiful place, right? With beautiful large homes and stuff. You know, some places just don't get a lot of fire duty. You still got to be ready. You still got to be ready for the fire when it gets there, you know? And maybe you got to practice a little more because you don't have a lot of experience, you know?
Well, and you remember we had on our command post show, sorry, Bobby, hang on a second. Remember, I think you were at the Yankees were in the playoffs or the World Series. You were talking to us with Maureen outside the building, outside the stadium.
Yankees are always in the playoffs.
and we had Mike Lombardo on. And you remember why I had the young lieutenant. Remember this one, young lieutenant for both you and I love North Carolina and South Carolina. And he said, he goes, you know, what advice do you have? Do you remember this, John? What advice do you have for, I'm a younger lieutenant. I have great firefighters in my firehouse, but we're in the newer side of town. And, you know, we don't get as, we're always second, third in. And
this was great. This was great. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And we want to do extrication. I wanted to stretch, go out and stretch some hose. And one of my guys says, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to go cut cars apart? Why do we have to go stretch hose? We haven't been on a job. We haven't been first due. We've been to a lot of fires, but we haven't been first due on the nozzle in forever. And I said, well, I always say the furthest you are from your last fire, the closer you are to your next one. And remember I asked Mike, I said, Mike, you know, what do you got? And he goes, he says, the reason you do that is because when those people, when the public, when those people go to bed and lay their heads on their pillows, they're thinking about you. They're not maybe consciously going, oh, firefighter. They're thinking about you. They're going to bed going, if I ever had to face the most god-awful thing imaginable, being burned to death, being burned alive, me or my children, my husband, my wife, whatever, the fire department's coming. And he said, remember, Johnny says, it's not about how many fires you fight. It's about the fire you fight. It's always about the next one. It's always about training for the next one. Whether you fight them all the time or you haven't fought one of fights, always about, because you got one time to do it right. And right, it was such a great, just a, such a great point. Bobby, did you have something you're going to jump in here before?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you have to, so there's a couple of things. Riding positions help take some of the stress off of doing the job. And they give us a responsibility more than a what to do, right? So, you know, if you're, if we're talking about the real world today, and I don't care if you're working in New York City, I don't care if you're working in Limestone, Oklahoma, I don't care if you're working in Louisville or Flower Mound or, you know, the Colony or anywhere else, we do a lot of medical, and riding positions matter there too. They really do. And things shift there, right? So you might be the lieutenant or the captain on an engine, and you've got a ALS paramedic, you know, riding in the jump seat, right? But you roll up at that ALS call, he's in charge. You know, he's calling those shots as far as patient care goes. You call the shots as far as scene safety, you know, all of that good stuff. So there's riding positions you can do there too. If you've got a dive team, you know, and you're rolling out, and one of the guys on your rig or gals on your rig is the dive master, and you roll up to a swift water, and that person gets out, you gotta be flexible. And I think to all of our points is that, you know, and I call it the simulation mentality or the assessment center mentality, where they think that the radio should be, you know, command of this guy and that guy, and engine two do this and engine three do that. That's just not the real world. You know, the real world is mostly face-to-face, fast, and cryptic. You know what I mean?
Go ahead, John.
Interesting point to make it more confusing, and not deliberately or not as a negative point, but like trucks in the FDNY, 58 trucks are a great example because I spent, you know, the end of my career there. They got this big board on the apparatus floor, like lots of places do now. They get the big chalkboard, and, you know, Captain Smith and Jones and Ryan and Wallace, you know, listed down on their assignments. And then next to them, it says, you know, chauffeur, irons, roof, OV. And then next to, and at the top of that column, it says fire. At the top of the next column, it says, Hurst. Like, you know, we use the term Hurst, but, you know, but the extrication.
Right.
And different assignments. It says tools. It says generator. It says bag, you know. And then next to that, it says writ. And then it's got five different writ assignments. So a guy coming in for a day shift in 58 truck, he doesn't have one assignment. He's got three assignments and theoretically more. If you had a swift water rescue, if you had a dive team, and like the guys in the rescue companies do all those things and a few more. So it's really quite, as I said before, I hate to say it again, it's really quite complex. A single firefighter working in a truck in anywhereville, doesn't really matter where you are, depending on what you roll out to, you may have yet a different assignment. Even if you're the OV for that day, you might be got a guy carrying a generator for an MVA, and you might be the guy carrying, you know, the stokes and the saw for a RIP team operation.
Well, and again, you know, Scott, you post pictures. You love bragging. Yeah, every right to him. I mean, no, seriously, Scott, you should be. You brag about the Colony, the fire department, the men and women that worked. I mean, you should, just like we did.
And he's got a best-selling book, too.
And I heard he's got a movie deal. He's got a movie deal in the works.
but you should. I mean, just like John, you know, used to, I mean, about the FDNY and about South Blooming Grove and Bobby with Albuquerque and Coppell and Limestone and, you know, us with, you know, Louisville, and I talk about the Wichita West guys all the time and Chief Ryan Fetzer, and they're doing great stuff. You have every right to brag about the Colony. And I love how you post, because you're proud of your guys. You post those pictures, just like John said. I've seen several times. A lot of times I think people miss it. You'll post like the quote of the day, but it's in the center of the riding assignment board on the apparatus floor. you know, and it's broken down kind of, you know, and some guys just say, well, you do that in the suburbs. Oh, you're just trying to be like Chicago, New York or whatever. No, we're not. We're trying to be organized. We're trying to be the fire department that has their act together that other people go, man, as soon as the county gets, you and I talked about Scott, all the years together. And John, you know it. And Bob, we've talked about this. You always have your favorite fire department, your favorite mutual aid fire department, or John, your favorite company in the Bronx, right? Mm-hmm. Not to mention any ones you don't, but there was times where you'd go, here come the guys from the colony, man. And you just knew things were going to get better. They come down the street. I made this comment once before. I was at a job and one of the chiefs said, you know, I need another company up here pretty quick. We got the, I said, okay. I said, he says, grab one of these two companies coming down the street. And it was just getting dark. I said, I'll grab the Louisville crew. And he goes, how do you know which one's a Louisville crew? I said, because they have all their tools and they're ready to go to work. And the other crew is one of his guys, his crews. And I'm like, sorry, but right? If you come, how you walk down it, you don't have anything, you're going to pound the fire. How do you not have your tools with you? But Scott, you've done that. You've, with your guys, with the riding, there's nothing wrong with, I've said it before, if Albuquerque, where Chief Bobby Halton worked, had some good shit going on, and FDNY did, why would you not borrow those ideas? Isn't it how we get better? We kind of go, look, that's really working good over in the county. Let's do that. There's nothing, God, people think, Bobby, you see this all the time with the magazine and conference. There's nothing, that's, we teach to people, we write articles, we do shows, because we want to share. It's not about ego. It's about sharing information. And you're hoping people will take that stuff from you. I'm hoping people from this show will go back and they'll email you and say, Chief Thompson, send me some pictures of how you guys did the board. Where did you put it? And Chief Salka, what were you talking about? You know, and I hope if they don't have that, they do it and they come up with, you know, isn't it, the whole point, Scott, isn't it to get better?
Almost everybody's good ideas came from somewhere else. You know, nobody's really inventing anything brand new. Sometimes you go to a
show. Make it better. Yeah. Make it better.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong. So I guess those are the hopes. Now, I had a guy a little while back post a question, and we kind of hit on this, but I want to make sure we cover this. Because, Bobby, you were, you know, career guy, volunteer guy. Scott, you've done both. John, both, you know, chief now. I'll throw this to John first. They wanted to go back to just talking about, and I already know where you're going to go, but they just want to go back to go talking career versus volunteer companies on riding assignments. And John, you and I've talked before about, you said it, you've got the board on the wall that says Riley's got the irons, you know, Smithwick's got, you know, the roof, you got the OV, but remember we've talked about some of the volley places to help them of actually put, if you take that board you have on the side of the firehouse inside 58 truck, you shrink it down. Remember we talked about a lot of places, you mount it in a jump seat where when you sit down, you go, okay, if it's a single family dwelling, this is what I'm grabbing. If it's a pin in, this is what I'm grabbing. If it's on the RIT team, right? I mean, you taught, so I guess help this guy want to know, Chief, help me out, career versus volunteer. How do you make it work? Career a little bit easier with the board. What about the volunteer side?
Well, that one thing that you already mentioned, and Bobby knows it, and so do you, from being in the volunteers. Scott, I don't know if you ever were in the volunteers or not, but it, you know, labeling riding assignments, an actual physical sign at the place that says, you got the irons, you got the can, you got the OV, or you're the outside guy, you're the inside guy. Again, you can't count on staffing. You can't count on every seat being full, so maybe every assignment's not going to get picked up. But there's an understanding. If you're on the left side and the other seat's empty, you might have to handle both of those jobs and do them in some type of order. Whether you want to go to the next step and have, you know, axe slash Halligan there too, or maybe you're just going to have the axe and the Halligan mounted right there. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. There's a lot of variables. I know everybody gets upset about mounting tools inside the compartment with a firefighter's ride. There's some element of danger, I guess. I guess if you mount them really well, there's probably not. But the point is that's a great way to do it because nobody has to know anything. You just have to get in the rig and all of a sudden, boom. Everybody knows that the seat behind the officer is the place to get because that's the irons. If you're in a truck, that's the guy going in with them, right? They know that's like the best of the four seats to sit in, right? And it just makes it easy. Some thought has to go into planning and picking those seats and training people. When you sit in this seat and it says you got the irons, it means you got to make sure you pick up the irons. You know what I'm saying? So that's a great first step.
Well, and Bobby, I was going to ask you a quick one. John's talking about that, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But if that magazine cover was a video, you know, because we all love YouTube. We're all on YouTube. We use it. It's a great device, a great avenue watching the videos and going to fireengineering.com and watching all the videos that are on there that Pete posts for us and that. If that magazine cover in Waterbury was a video, what I can guarantee you, because we all know that department, what you see is people pull up, get off the rig, and they're doing their stuff like this. And we've all seen the videos where the first engine pulls up, or this, and they get off and they're kind of, you know, you've seen it, that kind of puzzled, like, okay, we're waiting for the incident commander to tell us what to do kind of thing.
And it's roaring.
Oh, and the proof, I go, the proof said, you're looking, going, well, and not to be mean, you go, obviously, I'm sure they're not bad firefighters, but what they need is, now they need to do what we're talking about. Someone needs to sit down and go, guys, we can't pull up, you know, the expectation, like John said, doesn't matter where you're at. You still have to be the fire department. You pull up, they expect you to get off and go to work. That's, you know, and I just watched a video the other day and I'm going, oh my God, come on, guys, somebody go to work. Somebody should be stretching a line. Somebody should be, okay. You know, because I love the videos where you see the guy's cranking, he's flushing the hydrant, this guy's stretching a line. Real quick, and John, you remember the video when I helped Fox News with stuff, and James Rose, you remember James Rose, Scott? I'm up mechanic, mm-hmm. Calls, he goes, chief, he always used to say, my chief, he goes, I need you to look at a video real quick for me and give me your analyst, your what you think. And I said, okay. So I'm like, all right, fine. And I said, what's the deal? He goes, well, this kid got in trouble because he posted a helmet cam video without their department's permission. And I knew the department. I said, well, first of all, I know that department, you know, with a couple thousand guys at the time, doesn't have a imaging recording social media policy. So there's your problem right there. Okay. But secondly, okay. So he sends it to me. And I think, Bobby, you've heard me talk about this one too. I'm in my room. I'm watching this. And the engine's down the street. And the firefighter, you see him look over his shoulder from his jump seat. You can see the smoke. And as they pull up, they're actually coming like almost to a stop, not like 5 miles an hour, whatever. He stands up. So I'm like, all right, somebody's going to say he took his seatbelt off too soon, which, all right, I understand that. I'm all about seatbelts. He gets off the rig. You see him look up. He pulls the crosslay. It's a one-story shotgun house, fire out the front, fire big time out the back. As he's stretching a hose, you see his captain off to the right go, I'll be back in a minute. His captain goes off, does a quick 360. He flakes the hose out. He turns, he calls for water, his helmet upside down now, right? And you hear the line being charged, and you can hear him masking up, right? And everything else, and helmet back on, blah, blah, blah. And the line's charged. He bleeds it. His captain comes around, goes, we're going to the front right here. Heavy out the back, going to the front. Ready? Good. They're masked up. They're ready to go. He gets up. Remember, John, he hits it from off, not up on the porch. He hits it from the front, knocks it, pushes it in. His kid says, shut it down. Shut it down. Okay, push up. They get up on the porch and door. They hit it again. He goes, all right, shut it down. Push up. They get inside, and they're killing this fire. And I'm going, go, team, go. Go, go, team, go. And before you know it, the fire's out. Everything went great. I called James. I go, what was I supposed to be looking for again? He goes, well, he posted that without permission. What did they do wrong? I said, do wrong. This should be a training video. And back to the writing assignments. And, you know, the opposite was what I just said. The video I watched the other day, the guys got off and they're waiting. And this chief is doing this and doing this. And they're like, okay. And this is the first two companies. And I'm like, if you have to tell the first two companies, the side, John, like, no. Two and a half on this. No, you know, I mean, we've done that before. Change it up or whatever. Or I want you to take the exposure. Engine one's got the main fire, but you know, once in a while, you got to give those orders, but they're standing there waiting for this guy. And I watch this video and I'm going, God, these guys, boom, boom. And while that's going on, all these other guys are going to work because they train on it. They've got the SOGs on it. Their company officers sit around and go, okay, Bobby, you're behind me. That means if we get pretty much anywhere, it's three of us today on the engine, you got the nozzle. If you don't have the nozzle, you're bringing the can, which you're bringing it. You know, I mean, all these talks ahead of time, you know, when it goes. Go ahead, Bobby.
So that's a perfect story. And to wrap together, like what everybody just been talking about, take the filming without permission silliness out of it.
Yeah.
Right. Good luck with that. Because there were five civilians on the curb filming it too. So anyway, so right, Right now, there's 11 cameras on all of us, just so you know. You're being filmed every minute of every day. And hopefully, you know, for those of us as old as me, not in private places. But anyway, to the point, what the young crew member did there was took his writing assignment as his responsibility, and he innovated. In other words, John said nobody invents anything, and he's exactly right. Even if you take Edison didn't invent the light bulb. He innovated on five or six other things that folks had come up with, filaments, vacuum tubes, you know, glass. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that, you know, had been created, innovated on before Edison figured out how to keep a filament burning long enough to get a patent and create the light bulb, which obviously we all know the story. Five or six other people simultaneously around the world did pretty much the same thing, but it's the same thing on the fire ground. If the responsibility, to Scott's original point, for that initial engine was fire attack, then that's exactly what that young firefighter and his officer did, or her officer did. They charged their line, they got it charged, they went up and they attacked the fire. That's what their responsibility was. Now, the problem with any photograph or any video is you don't see what's going on except where the camera's
pointed. Besides every story, right?
Which is why I like photographs, because it's just a second in time and your imagination can take it anywhere you want to go. Like, because people always yell at me about, well, you know, we should never show a firefighter who's dirty on the cover of Fire Engineering or in the magazine. I'm like, have you ever been to a fire? We get dirty. You know, it'd be like saying you should never show a mechanic with grease on his hands. Are you kidding me? I'm a mechanic. I before this call, I had to go wash my hands with Gojo because they were covered with grease from me playing with my car before the call. But the point is, I like photographs because they allow your imagination to go places, and to innovation and to writing assignments, to kind of wrap it all together. You know, we've learned from the volunteer world, but even on the career side, you could have a firefighter get sick. You could have the number four firefighter get sick, or the D firefighter, whatever you call them, get sick. She's got to leave. She doesn't feel well. So you're riding with three now for a while, and you normally don't. Well, what's cool about John's assignment board is the boss could walk over and say, yeah, you pick up this, you pick up this, you pick up this till we get our fourth back. Or say you're riding with three and one of the three gets sick, and now you're riding with two. You got a chauffeur and an officer. You got to show up somewhere. You got to do something to start making imp. You don't just sit there going, oh, woe with us. We don't have three people. We don't have four people. You go to work. And on the volunteer side, sometimes you roll up and it's you. And you start pulling hose, flaking out, making hydrant connections. You do whatever you have to do. And that's innovating. It's not, you're not inventing anything. You're not chiseling a freaking stone out of a wheel out of a piece of stone. You're not Fred.
Bobby, it goes back to what I said earlier,
for God's sakes,
about using one of Fire Engineering's older covers, the white cover of the perfect fire ground, because you will never, ever, ever, did I say ever? You will never, ever see me post a negative comment on anyone's video. You see these so-called experts, right? They have a dumpster fire for experience, and they talk like they're the McAfee brothers from Backdraft. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, those that are quick to make those assumptions, you know, there's three sides to every story. So when I talk about the kid in Dallas, I'm like, God, I was so excited for them. I was so proud, like, God, and that doesn't happen on accident. It happens because they train, because they're organized, because they have good leadership. And don't you want to be like those guys? Instead of the other video I mentioned where it literally you pull up and I'm watching this and I'm like, somebody needs to go to work.
I just wanted to get my final point out for everybody on writing assignments, and then I'll let everybody else kind of wrap up because I know we're all pressed on time here. But so models are what they are, right? But the model doesn't tell you the whole story. Models are based on like a set of assumptions that we believe to be true most of the time, right? But every job, not every job, but a lot of jobs have something that doesn't fit the model, right? Like the house we're looking at in Waterbury. It looks like a single family home, but then it's got those two satellite dishes. So has it been remodeled? So it's actually two families living in there? You know, stuff like that happens all the time, right? So when we do writing assignments and we do arrival assignments, what we try to do is pick the most common stuff, right, that rolls out most of the time. But to John's point and Scott's point, We know that well-trained firefighters, and Ricky's points, well-trained firefighters can innovate at the drop of a second, which is why it's so important to develop that trust, and why I think it's so important. Writing positions are important. I love John's idea about having a big board with all the kind of variations, you know, automotive, fire, EMS, you know, whatever else, you know, water. I love that. But then to the other point, you people always tell me we don't have enough to drill on. You got to drill on all of it, right? And you might be riding in a position someday where it says you're responsible for something that you're really not familiar with that much. Don't take that as a point of weakness. Take that as an opportunity to say, oh man, I'm not familiar with the boat that much. I've never been on a water rescue, you know, and then, there's your day. You know, that's like the best day you can have on the job when someone gets to teach you about something else. And the beauty about what we get to do now, and I'm really looking forward, I'm going out to visit with some Calvin, a friend of mine out in Larkspur, Colorado, and Oren Breeze. And I just can't wait to sit down and have them show me their stuff and tell me what they're doing. And, you know, because then I can bring it back to the guys I know and I can say, oh man, you should see what these guys are doing. This is really pretty cool stuff, you know? And so trust your folks to innovate when they need to and be there to back them up with, okay, good, good. Looks like we're making good progress. Yeah. Talk to each other. And I'm not one of these people who wants radio silence on the fire ground. If the crews are talking to each other about stuff that matters, let them talk. You know what I mean? If they're talking, it's because they've got something to say. You know, if they're not talking, things are going pretty standard. But when they're talking, something's happening that they're, you know, thinking about.
And you don't want one of those departments where, and we've all seen them, they're there, where you can't box or strike an extra alarm till the chief gets there kind of stuff. I mean, you know, we see that. It just drives me, really. Firefighters are some of those progressive, some of those capable people I know. And sometimes their only limitations basically are what they've been trained to or who spent time with them mentoring them and training them.
Yeah, generally their only limitations are their bosses.
Exactly. Well, Scott, let's go to you and then we'll go to John. A little summary on the whole, you know, writing assignments and first two considerations.
You know, I can't imagine, we've been doing it for 11 years now, I can't imagine doing anything different, but I want to take a moment just to offer something that we did in a volley department for the gentleman that asked when I was in Argyle, is we would take index cards, and you know, they make them in white, blue, and it's kind of a pinkish color, and they put them right up over the position. The red was fires, the blue were pin jobs or rescues, and the white were medical calls, excuse me, and the white were rescues. And you could pull the card under right there. It said, what, if you're sitting in this seat, this is what you do. These are the tools you grab. And you can even, you know, take the card out if you needed to. And it was in every position. And that worked really
kind
well.
Kind of like a pump chart almost, right, Scott? So if you're sitting here, this is what you're responsible for to fire.
But the other side, I think we fail. You know, we like to think we position people for success. And the other thing that I think we need to think about sometimes is the person that's subbing or swinging or working overtime, going from one firehouse to another. Now they got to kind of relearn everything. Well, this is how we do it here, you know, and then the last thing I want to say is survivability then becomes philosophical versus situational. And every, you know, captain or every battalion chief now, well, we're going to do it the same system, same kind of stuff, but it's now, you know, it's an emotion-based opinion. And that's a very hard position to defend when things go bad.
Perfect. Great point, buddy. John?
I'll tell you, it's, and I know I sound like I'm, you know, always hopping on talking about, you know, FDNY. Obviously, I did, you know, my whole career there, although I've been in four different fire departments. And what's great about what we have there is obviously number one is the staffing. And I just have to mention the staffing, even though we're talking about assignments, because without staffing, assignments not mean nothing, but they're greatly diminished. Okay. So the fact that we have staffing, such good staffing citywide, you know, I mean, trucks have every seat full. squads and rescues, every seat is full. There's no empty seat, right? I mean, we're talking about a lot of people there. So when you put those assignments up, I go to work in the 18th Battalion in the morning. I could have a job in the morning at an apartment house with the companies there in the 18th Battalion. And I know what everybody's doing and they know what they're all doing. And I can get relocated to Queens 4 hours later because a fourth alarm is going on somewhere. And I can roll in with companies where I have to look at a map to get there. And I have no idea who they are. It's the 3-digit companies, right? And they go right to work too. And I know where they should be because they know where they should be. Everybody knows where they should be. And obviously we've talked a lot about, you know, things changing, you know, for some reason or other, some condition pops up or something happens where you have to, you know, what did you say, Scott, where you call an audible, right? Sometimes that does have to happen, but 90% of the calls, 99% of the calls go as planned. They go as scheduled. They go as trained. They go as prepared for. And you know what's great? I could go to a fire anywhere in New York City on any one day. I could go to 5 different fires and I know what they're doing and they know what they're doing because everybody's on the same page and everybody's up to snuff. That's the greatest thing about both company assignments, first do, second do, and, you know, personnel assignments, backup firefighter, nozzle firefighter, you know, hydrant firefighter, whatever it might be. That's the greatest thing. It takes a lot of that early morning, quick, sudden, confrontational decision-making. It just takes it right out of the box, and it just goes back to memory. You know what you're supposed to do. I kick a can in the eyes on this one. He goes to the roof, and he goes to the rear. And nobody has to say, oh, what do we do now, boss? You know, it's just great. And the better prepared everybody is, and we've always said this, right? You know, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And I think riding assignments fit into that phrase. They fit into that little, you know, saying.
Well, and that's with your accountability also. And I think you told me that. I asked you, I think we were riding with you. How do you keep up with everybody? And you said, I just know where everybody's supposed to be, and that's where they are. And so you got accountability built in on the backside of it.
Absolutely.
Well, and as we kind of close things out here, I want to mention before we leave everybody, look, you know, the information for our viewers is out there. You go. I'm favored to it, but it's my family, but fireengineer.com, go to the training community and just post, I need policies on riding assignments. And you'll never get through them all. You know, go to Firefighter Nation, go to fireengineer.com, go to FDIC.com, go to all the different websites, you know, oh my God, the information. We talked magazine covers. Well, you could spend a couple hours on one magazine cover.
Go to the magazine archives and just put in riding assignments and boom, you're going to get 20 articles.
Exactly. From magazine articles from the 1800s all the way up to now, you know, so to our viewers, it's out there. The videos are there. You know, you can go to these websites because look, enough with posting. I'm just going to say enough with, I don't want, I'm so tired of reading people's political. I don't need your political opinion. I don't want to hear about your political opinion. I don't care about your political opinion. And don't be an ass when you
Epstein
post stuff.
Didn't kill himself.
Don't attack people. Don't, you know, if you call yourself a brother or sister in this business, then live up to it. And that means, you know what, we can argue and agree to disagree, but you don't have to be nasty about it. You know, you don't know. You know, you have no idea what's going on in that particular department. You know, maybe that's the one bad officer that department has. That's the picture you learned, the video. You know what I'm saying? There's a ton of great firefighters all over North America with our Canadian brothers and sisters. The information's out there. The resources are out there. Use them. There's no excuse nowadays. You know, there isn't. It's all right there. Before it was, well, I got to wait for my magazine to get here because there was no internet. There was no social media. Well, you know what? Guess what? That's a crappy argument now because it's all there for you to learn from. So, Bobby, if they want to get a hold of you,
would you please delete that last 15 seconds about not waiting for the magazine to get there?
Bobby, I know that you always say if they want to get a hold of you, all they can do is open up the inside of the magazine. But what's the best email for them to reach you, buddy?
Hey, just anytime you can reach me at Bobby Halton at Gmail. That's just the simplest deal. And give me a little time. I'm old. So yeah,
no, you got like a million emails too.
Yeah, no,
it's,
you
not,
know,
it's not the Bobby Halton email.
I hate you, Sokka. I hate you so much. So you know what I was going to say earlier when Rick was going through John's litany, you know, his quick resume that he gave there. I was going to make a crack, you know, 48 engine, 18th battalion. I was going to say, so John, where'd you go to get some experience? Did you have to? You buff a lot?
Scott, what's an email for you, buddy?
Scott with two T's at fireserviceleadership.com.
Perfect, perfect. John?
Chief John Salka at Gmail.
And I'm Chief Lasky at Gmail, folks. You know what? You can catch us all on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all the different social media things and our websites. Our next show for our team and Terry McGrath, Chief McGrath, our good buddy, will be back with us for the five.
That's right, the five.
November 18th. And we always mention this. Fire Engineering has some great, I just talked about the research. They have some great Hump Day Hangouts on Wednesdays. All the podcasts that used to be just at night, you wear yourself out with your guys and gals going through all the opportunities to listen to some great people. So take advantage of it. In closing, and I speak for all of us, everybody in this panel has a family member, a child that has served or currently serves in the military. We always ask you to please keep the men and women of armed forces in your thoughts and prayers. And most importantly, to our folks out there, never forgetting means just that, never forgetting. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. Be safe and God bless you.